The Adventures of Captain Harvey, A Modern Odyssey, by Alan Davison, alias Roland Twelves. Epigraph by Kakuzo Okakura. One who could make of himself a vacuum into which others might freely enter would become master of all situations. Author's note. Captain Harvey, a character who is at once everyone and no one, was born of the essay Everything and Nothing by Jorge Luis Borges and the study The Hero with a Thousand Faces by Joseph Campbell. In 1979, inspired by these two texts, I wrote the first pages of what would later become The Adventures of Captain Harvey, and began to collect the experiences and quotations that make up this novel. Inevitably, the idea of a person who is all people and all things transcends the concept of personal ego, as well as the conceit of originality. If we are all things, and everything belongs to each of us, then nothing belongs to any one of us. It was Borges, and everyone else, who said, "I am constantly struck by the feeling that one person wrote all the books." Of course, I recognize that some authors do not share this opinion, and so I have identified the citations used in this work in a page-by-page appendix at the end. Alan Davison, Roland Twelves, April 4th, 1997. Dramatis Personae. The Gods. Zeus, God of Gods, Lord of Thunder, Protector of the Traveler. Hera, wife and sister to Zeus, Protectress of Marriage. Athena, daughter to Zeus, Goddess of the Arts, Guardian of Athens. Aphrodite, Goddess of Love, Sex, and Beauty, and Mother of Cupid. Artemis, Goddess of Chastity, Goddess of the Hunt, associated with the moon. Hermes, messenger god, conductor of souls to the underworld. Poseidon, lord of the sea, father of the cyclops Polyphemus. Demeter, goddess of vegetation and fertility. Hades, lord of the underworld. Dionysus, god of wine. His female worshippers were the frenzied Maenads. Sisyphus, a wave off the coast of the French Riviera. The Mortals. Captain Jack Harvey, the protagonist. Mahogany Edwards, best friend to Captain Harvey. Melanie Edwards, sister to Mahogany. Adelphine Sancio, a painter from Mantua. Silvia Sancho, mother to Adelphine. Laura Antipas, an actress from Mantua living on the island of Zante. Mario Fellini, a movie director from Rome, living in Portofino. Ms. Julia Hathaway, professor of British literature in England. Roland Virgil Twelves, also known as R.T., author of The Adventures of Captain Harvey. Ronaldo Dodici, author of The Adventures of Captain Harmon. Prometheus, Thales, and Hesiod, college students in Salt Lake City, Utah. Anaximenes, also known as Roland Twelves, student in Salt Lake City, Utah. Alessandra Atreus, amateur actress and student of Greek. Idothea, graduate student in Florence, Italy. Jocasta, grandmother to Idothea. Arianna Potinari, a beautiful wraith. Chapter 1, which tells of the captain's escape and the beginning of his journey. quote from Walt Whitman, There Was a Child Went Forth. There was a child went forth each day, and the first object he looked upon, that object he became. Tell me, O Muse, of that unstable hero who traveled far and wide after his home was destroyed by fire. Many cities did he visit, and many were the nations whose men and women he became. Moreover, he suffered much by his mutability, while trying to save his own life and the lives of all others. Tell me of these things, O daughter of Zeus, beginning the tale at whatever point you choose. How is he?
The same, said the nurse. Today he is mumbling about rosy-fingered dawn and how the gods are going to save him.
The Greek gods?
Naturally, said the nurse.
You'll be glad, said the doctor, to know we've finally made a diagnosis.
Harvey watched as the doctor led the nurse out of the room, and as soon as they were gone, he heard a tapping at the window.
"'Tis some visitor," he muttered, rising from bed. "'Tis some visitor," he mumbled, and walked across the floor.
A bird rose from the outside ledge when he threw back the curtains, and he watched it disappear into the fog over the Pacific.
"'Ah, to be as a bird," Harvey sighed, "a winged messenger of the heavens, sailing upon the bosom of the air."
Thinking the dark-plumed creature was a herald sent from Olympus, our hero constructed a small pyre with foam and bedsheets and set about to make a burnt offering. Of course, like any curious child, the roaring blaze was not content to remain in the corner and soon journeyed far from its home, engulfing the room and spreading into the hall. It was then, as the flames leapt up around him, that Harvey understood it was his time as well, and that he should undertake a similar journey, one of equal curiosity and vigor. He paused for a moment to consider the best path to take, and then, forgetting he was a featherless biped, he leapt out of the third-story window and plummeted to the beach below. The narrator breaks in here. O author of authors, sire of heroes upon the sea, what rough beast, its hour come round at last, slouches now towards San Diego to be born. Dear reader, I bring before you Captain Jackson Quintilius Harvey, man of all men, lusus naturae, that is, freak of nature, and not so solitary victim of neverness. His ancient infirmity dates to before mankind, to before the ocean, or the earth, or the heavens, when nature was all alike, a shapeless chaos of rude and lumpy matter. Behold a man who houses a physical vacuum within the walls of his skull, a black hole of non-knowledge which, if released by a cranial fracture, would swallow all of creation. Unable to maintain any personality for an extended period, he takes on the character and spirit suggested by his surroundings. Such is the unusual and blessed creature that I, Roland V. Twelves, author of this immortal tale, have chosen to set loose on the modern-day city of Leucadia, California. The story of our hero, as well as the story of mankind, might well have ended here, for before Harvey could struggle to his feet, a filing cabinet crashed inches from his head. Had it struck him directly, the files and their pages, and everything else in the universe, would have been swallowed in the vacuum of his mind. As it was, the threatening object lay harmlessly on the beach, its drawers wrenched open, and the biographies of the sanitarium patients mixed and scattered on the sand.
The captain interpreted the jumbled files as a sign that he was to mingle his life with others, and that they were to mingle their lives with his. And so he said farewell to his flaming home and started down the nearest road. As noted, Harvey's illness enabled him to assimilate a variety of personalities with equal facility. And as he wandered along the sidewalks of residential Leucadia, he took on the character and mannerisms of each creature he encountered. First he was a gardener, then a schoolboy on a skateboard, then a terrier chasing and killing a cat, then a butterfly, then a rap star twitching and jerking to a monotonous single beat. Of course, to the objective observer, he was a crazy old man in a hospital gown, and it wasn't long before a homeowner called the police. When the patrolman arrived, Harvey was imitating a dolphin-shaped hedge, but the officer, who was trying to eat a donut without getting chocolate on the car upholstery, didn't notice the topiary trespasser. He continued to drive up and down the street until he had finished his donut and licked his fingers, then he stopped and got out. As soon as he did, our hero sprang from his shrubbery, leapt into the vehicle, and sped off down the road. It was a gray and dreary morning as Harvey rolled down the Pacific Coast Highway. The road was dark and damp, the vegetation was shrouded in mist, and the struggling sun scarcely illuminated the cliffs that dropped to the beach below. It was as if the world had not yet taken shape and was offering only the vague outlines of what it might become. For the captain, it was even more tenuous, for he could not remember the last time he had been outside the sanitarium, and he had to learn everything all over again. He saw many things for which he did not have names, and he was forced to signal them with his hand, hoping his author knew what they were called. He drove on for miles, unable to see where he was going or from where he had come, until he spotted a lookout above the beach and pulled off the road. Ignoring the signs that warned him of the danger of doing so, he climbed over the guardrail fence and made his way out to a scraggly rock that hung over the waves. A roaring wind began to vanquish the fog and lift the sea mountain high, and Harvey imagined he could see the Spanish Armada docking up the coast, or the Santa Maria, or the Achaean Argo, its many oars moving as one, cutting the gray waves headed for Troy. Just then an airplane passed overhead, and Harvey looked up. It appeared to be a DC-10, but he couldn't be sure, for a flock of eagles was obstructing his view. A flock of eagles, he thought, and began to count the birds that passed on his left and his right sides. He considered that if the number on his right were greater than his left, luck would be with him, and he should sail that day. But if the number on his left were greater, he should postpone his journey until a more auspicious time. Unfortunately, as soon as he began to count, the birds began to circle and swerve and threaten him with their claws. He lunged at one, tripped, and hit his head against a stone. The blow was such that Harvey thought he had cracked his skull and the universe had been drawn into it. A billion different images and scenes began to play out in his mind. There were tales of love and desperation, mythological voyages, journeys to the future and past, endless transformations, meddlesome gods, and a million different dreams of dreams within dreams. In one of those dreams, he was on a DC-10 headed for Greece.